Good morning. This is Kate Olson from the Cass County Office of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach with your Extension report on this Wednesday morning. We've got a lot of things going on this week. We're going to chat a little bit today about 4th of July and food safety, and also about some flood resources from ISU Extension as we continue to have heavy rains across Iowa this week. First of all, our July Words on Wellness newsletter was just released. That's up on our website. Lots of great resources there, from celebrating National Park and Recreation Month by getting out and getting moving on the trail, keeping yourself nourished with our recipe for take-along trail mix, and some tips for staying hydrated, eating protein, and eating carbohydrates for energy and to build muscle. Also, some information as we get into the 4th of July, often a time for many barbecues or picnics with family and friends. Some tips on the back of our newsletter about food safety, including using food thermometers, as food temperature is a key step to ensure food safety. You can learn how to calibrate your food thermometer, and also some reminders about food safety. Seafood, steaks, roasts, and chops, whether they're beef or pork, should all be cooked to an internal temperature of 145 degrees Fahrenheit minimum. If you're cooking rabbit, venison, or any ground meat, that should be cooked to 160 degrees Fahrenheit internal. Leftovers should be reheated to 165 degrees Fahrenheit. And chicken, poultry, or any casseroles that have meat mixed in them should be reheated or cooked to 165 degrees Fahrenheit. When we have large gatherings of people, we also often have large amounts of food. If you're looking to keep some of that for later, we also have some tips for eliminating food waste. About 96% of food waste ends up in landfills. If you'd rather keep that and eat it as a meal later, if you do have leftovers, get those in the refrigerator or freezer quickly to avoid spoilage, and put them in clear containers labeled with the contents and dates so you'll be more likely to use them. And check your refrigerator and freezer frequently so you don't let food go to waste once you've gone to all that work to save it. More resources and links on that Words on Wellness newsletter, you can find that on our Cass County Extension website under Family and Food. As we continue to get rain going into the month of July, I want to remind you that Extension has a lot of resources for folks dealing with flooding. You can check out the Disaster Recovery section on the ISU Extension website. Just click on the little plus sign, the disaster recovery link, there on the homepage of the ISU Extension website. Also have resources specifically to managing flood damage in your yards and gardens. That's on our Yard and Garden website. There's links where you can find information about managing your flood-damaged vegetable gardens and food crops, managing flood damage in your lawns, managing flood-damaged perennials and annual beds, as well as learning more about the effects of flooding on your trees and shrubs. We'll chat a little bit today about managing flood damage in the vegetable gardens. And again, I encourage you to check out all of those resources online if you have other specific garden questions. The main thing to keep in mind if you do have flooding in your gardens is that after a flooding event, biological and chemical contamination is a concern for any of our fruit, vegetables, and other edible crops. Contamination can come from pesticides, chemicals, heavy metals, even petroleum products that may be floating in floodwaters. Biological contamination may include bacteria, parasites, or viruses coming from upstream farms, septic systems, sewage systems, and manure. Again, all of these things can be carried in floodwater and pose a serious food safety risk. Proper handling of garden produce after flooding is important. The main thing to remember is if you have any concerns, when in doubt, throw it out. Following a flood, the safest course of action is to discard all edible produce immediately from the garden. If you do have produce that floodwaters have not touched, you could potentially eat those, but before consuming, you should thoroughly clean, peel, and cook the produce. You can thoroughly clean by rinsing with clean water and then soaking in a mild bleach solution using 2 tablespoons per gallon of water. Soak that for at least 2 minutes and then rinse that with cold tap water. Any produce that was above the water but may have been splashed by floodwater should be discarded. And any produce from a flooded garden that is to be consumed raw should be discarded. Oftentimes, this might include things like leafy greens, melons, carrots, radishes, cucumbers, etc. Keep in mind also that any produce not fit for human consumption because of flooding should also not be fed to any animals, pets, livestock, etc., as those chemical and biological contaminations will make them sick as well. You should destroy any damaged produce that was in the garden during the flood event, especially those that have blemishes, cracks, or bruises where flood water could have entered. Keep in mind that washing, peeling, and cooking can help prevent the spread of foodborne pathogens, but these practices do not destroy foodborne pathogens that have already contaminated the produce or destroy any chemical or industrial contaminants. So again, when in doubt, destroy the produce. Before harvesting any crop grown or planted in a recently flooded garden, there is a recommended waiting period. For perennial edible crops, you should wait about 120 days for any that touch the soil, such as asparagus, strawberry, and rhubarb. And you should wait about 90 days for any crops that do not touch the soil, like raspberries and tree fruits. And if you're doing the math, for most perennial crops, this means that the harvest for the current growing season has been lost, but oftentimes those plants will recover and produce food again the next year, which is then safe to eat. Vegetable gardens destroyed by flooding can be replanted. There are several crops such as radishes, leafy greens, broccoli, and peas that can be successfully planted in late summer before a fall harvest. And there's others like green beans, sweet corn, carrots, and beets that have a relatively short production time. Gardens can be replanted if you can wait at least 30 to 60 days before replanting. The produce will be harvested after the recommended waiting period of 90 to 100 days, and the produce will mature before your average first frost date in your area. If all three of these conditions cannot be met, you should wait to replant until the next growing season. Another alternative to planting directly back in the garden is growing vegetables in containers. In containers, you can put fresh soil in the containers and you don't need to wait that 30 to 60 days to replant. If you are not replanting, you may want to consider planting a cover crop for the remainder of the growing season. This can help break up the ground, introduce air to oxygen-deprived soils, and reduce the number of weeds that take root if your garden was destroyed. For home gardeners, aim to plant a cover crop that winter kills, such as oilseed radishes, oats, yellow mustard, buckwheat, sorghum sedan grass, cowpeas, sun hemp, or buckwheat. And again, you can find more information on managing flood-damaged yards and garden plants on our ISU Yard and Garden website. Do you want to note as we get close to the holidays that the Extension office will be closed tomorrow for the 4th of July holiday. We'll be open again on Friday the 5th, and we'll be open regular hours beginning next week as well. I encourage you to stop by the office at 805 West 10th Street. Give us a call, 712-243-1132. Of course, you can always find those resources and information on our website. Follow along on social media for upcoming events and activities. And you can find a variety of resources and information on the Iowa State University Extension website as well. Till next time, have a safe and happy 4th of July. I'm Kate Olson for Cass County Extension.